The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Lent's a season when Christians focus on spiritual battle. As we learned last week, we do battle against Satan, who tempts us to flee from Christ. But we never fight alone. We overcome Satan not by what we've done, but by what Christ has done. And this week, we hear briefly about a different enemy, our sinful flesh. Turning quickly to the epistle lesson, Paul addresses our sinful flesh. He points out that part of God's will for us is to avoid sexual immorality, because he created sexual intimacy to be in the bonds of marriage between a husband and wife. Anything outside this holy marriage is condemned. This battle is especially difficult for the young, but we're encouraged to control our bodies in holiness and honor. But our sinful nature desires a different life, a life void of responsibility, work, care, or attention. Following our sinful flesh involves divorce, pain, anger, grudges, and children get confused. Our sinful nature desires its own self-fulfilling passions in a world which preaches such false ideas about sexual intimacy, that my commitment matters over the Lord's blessing. This is a spiritual battle between our old sinful nature and our renewed baptismal nature, which seeks to do God's will. We were generally good at recognizing such spiritual battles. But then, there are other spiritual battles that are unexpected. We hear of one with the Canaanite woman in the gospel lesson. The situation is this. This woman calls out to Jesus for mercy. We typically hear of Jesus responding to such situations. But here, Jesus, who we understand to be merciful, loving, and generous, appears hard-hearted and cruel. He ignores her plea. Jesus' disciples ask him to send her away, and Jesus continues to ignore her. He even says, "I was sent for the lost sheep of Israel." That excludes her. She's a Canaanite, a Gentile. But she doesn't quit. She shouts even more, "Lord, help me!" Jesus responds, saying it's not right to take the children's bread and to give it to the dogs. Anyone who met God in this situation would be confused, puzzled. and maybe wonder if they were speaking to the right guy. He no longer seemed merciful, loving, and willing to heal. Now, fighting against Satan is hard. Fighting against our sinful flesh is hard. Fighting against a world full of sin is hard. But fighting against God? This woman seems to have a tough task. Kind of like Jacob in the Old Testament. He wrestled against God all night long. But Jacob wouldn't let God go in their divine wrestling match until God blessed him. But let's not get the wrong idea. God isn't our enemy. He never is and never was. He's our loving Father, and we're His children. He's not our enemy. But it appears to us that He's an enemy to Jacob and the Canaanite woman. Jacob is faithful to God. This Canaanite woman has great faith. She calls for His mercy and confesses Him as the Son of David. But Jesus seemingly ignores her messianic confession and her plea for help. He essentially calls her a dog and says, "What I have is not for you." But as Jacob pinned down God, so did this Canaanite woman. She corners Jesus and says, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She didn't let God go until He worked His blessing. She knew Jesus wasn't cruel and cold-hearted. She knew that Jesus would answer her prayer because she knew God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 22 that all nations would be blessed through Abraham's seed, that seed culminating into the Messiah Jesus, the Son of David. This woman, this Canaanite woman, was a part of the all nations that would be blessed. She knew that she'd be blessed through Abraham's lineage. And Jesus was the blessing. That was why Jacob wouldn't let go of God until He gave Jacob a blessing. And God did give Jacob the blessing because all Jacob asked of God was to keep His word, to keep His promise that He gave to Abraham. And having been cornered by the Canaanite woman, Jesus granted her plea because she held God to His word. She said, "Well, if I'm a dog, I get the crumbs, right? Then give me what dogs get, because I know the crumbs from your table are enough." That's what faith does. It holds God to His word. And that's how our prayers work. Our prayers should keep God accountable to His promises. Prayers with eloquent speech and many words, though may be beautiful, may pale in comparison to the prayer of this Canaanite woman who simply says, "God, give me your crumbs. You've promised them to me, and that's enough for me." In prayer, we're persistent in the holy things which God gives. We wrestle and struggle with certain tests God gives us. But in prayer, we hold God accountable to His word. Don't ask for things He hasn't promised you, though. The name it and claim it way of prayer is a lie. That way of praying tries to bind God to things which he hasn't bound himself to already. This Canaanite woman certainly understood Christian prayer by faithfully holding God to his promises. So when it seems as if God is our enemy, faith tells you it isn't true. Your faith will seek to hold God accountable to his word. Your faith will look to the one who has fought an intense battle with God. Who had an intense battle with God? This person is a man, an innocent man. He never had any sin in his heart, no less greed or evil. But he was punished despite all this. He was betrayed by one of his own into the hands of men who wanted him to be crucified. This man knew this was the way his life would go. And he even prayed that this suffering may pass from him. But it couldn't be that way. He had to drink the cup of divine wrath, which is God's vengeance and anger against sinners. This man was the Holy Son, begotten of his heavenly Father from all eternity. Yet, God punished him. God became his enemy. God battled God. The holy man, not just a man, but God in the flesh, must suffer God's punishment against sinners. But look beneath the suffering, and what do you see? The Father loves his Son. He's pleased with him. The Father's love for his Son is so great that it embraces all those for whom his Son has died. His Son's suffering becomes your suffering. His death becomes your death. His life becomes your life. Throughout all Jesus' suffering, there was never a point when the Father's love was absent from Jesus. Even when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There have been, or will be, times when you think a similar thing about God. You'll think he's forsaken you or ignored your prayers like the Canaanite woman. But hold on to God's promises. Search for his mercy underneath your suffering. Though God permits suffering to happen to you, he wants to give you faith to hold him at his word. He wants to give you his Son, who has gone through suffering with you and for you, so that you will know that your Father in heaven isn't cold-hearted and cruel, rather showing you through his Son that he's merciful and loving. When God tests you, and you find yourself struggling to comprehend or grasp what God is doing, know that he isn't trying to push you away. He's not your enemy. He's your friend. He's your Savior. And he's working what he sees best to draw you into himself. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.